It's because the situation in Darfur is very dynamic. What we, for instance, seen last year is not the case this year anymore. An example is the armed clashes between the government forces from one side and the armed movements from the other side in the Jebel Barat area. When our previous POC strategy was developed in May 2015, the fighting in Jebel Marra was not taking place. So that's why we decided to review our POC strategy to incorporate all those new dynamics, new developments, and reflect them into our new approach. Because the POC strategy is our main document based on which we implement our protection of civilians activities in Darfur.
How different is this strategy to the previous one?
If you look at the strategy, we have updated the threat assessment, risk assessment. We have updated the conflict analysis, actors mapping, context analysis. What is quite new in the strategy of this year is that we have placed quite a significant emphasis on training, on protection of civilians, and not just lecture type of training, but real scenario-based POC modules. After the POC strategy was endorsed by the Joint Special Representative in February, we immediately launched a rollout of the strategy in each sector, as well as at Khartoum Liaison Office. In addition to that, we have also focused on our POC activities on increased POC communication and messaging. What we have produced since the adoption of the strategy is the quarterly protection of civilians bulletins, quarterly POC threat assessments, so that we can make a better use of available communication means to spread the messaging on protection of civilians.
And how about in terms of the mission's mandate implementation in protecting civilians in the remote areas?
We have quite a number of team sites in remote and isolated areas in Darfur. And in accordance with our protection of civilians strategy, in each team site, we should have integrated field protection teams, the so-called IFPTs. These are extremely important structures to provide early warning and early response to any POC threat and risks that the civilian population in those areas could face. In some team sites, these structures are working very well. For instance, at El Jerina team site, in West Darfur, in Nertiti team site, in Central Darfur, and in some other team sites. We have conducted an analysis on what is the reason that in some team sites the IFPTs are working very well, and in other team sites they are still building up. So it appears that in those areas where we have civilian staff based at team sites, the IFPTs are the best. So for us to build an effective early warning and prevention conflict prevention mechanism, we need to increase the number of civilian staff at the team sites. Only in that case we can have a meaningful conflict prevention, early warning and early response arrangements at in deep and remote isolated areas.
In Darfur, the level of protection of civilians incidents notably increased during the rainy season when internally displaced persons and returnees visit their farm areas to carry out agricultural activities. What's UNAMID's role in mitigating and preventing such incidents to occur?
This is very right. During this agricultural season, the IDPs primarily and returnees, they visit their farms to conduct farming and livelihood activities. And this is the period where the number of abuses and harassments against them is on increase. On our side, our uniformed personnel provide targeted patrols, including firewood and grass collection patrols, water fetching patrols, and farming patrols. Now, the concern that we have, or a challenge that we have in this regard, is our capacities compared with the number of people of concern. If we look at the number of IDPs in Darfur, the UN estimates up to 2.7 million IDPs in Darfur. And we have the number of our uniform personnel is about 17,000. So definitely we can't be everywhere at the same time. What we are trying to do while providing the targeted patrols is also to, like recently we have conducted a mapping of protection situation in farming areas with the overall objective of identifying those areas where such incidents happen on a regular basis. This is exactly the time when we are realigning our available capacities and resources to focus on the most conflict-prone areas. So the results of this protection mapping will be taken into consideration for our future activities.
Security Council Resolutions 2363 guided UNAMID to reconfigure the mission. It will involve in the reduction of troops on the ground. How will it affect UNAMID's mandate in protecting civilians and facilitating humanitarian assistance?
Definitely, if we have less resources, less capacities to provide protection to civilian population in Darfur, then we'll have to prioritize the areas and the vulnerable population that need UNAMID's protection. Primarily, this relates to IDPs. And IDPs in Darfur, they live either in camps, in gathering areas, or within host communities. For us to do the prioritization, we have sat down together with our humanitarian partners, reviewed all IDP settlements, situation in all IDP settlements in Darfur from protection point of view. We have looked at 174 IDP settlements, and we identified 49 IDP settlements that we would have to focus our protection of civilians, interventions and activities in the future. Why those 49 settlements? Because of the level of violence, both within IDP camps and outside IDP camps. When we spoke with IDPs, their primary concern relates to two issues. One, increased level of violence during nighttime. And second, increased level of violence when they step out of the IDP camps for livelihood activities. So based on the results of the mapping of protection situation at IDP settlements, now we are realigning our capacities and resources to provide protection to civilians in those 49 IDP camps in terms of night patrols and in terms of increased farming, water collection, and firewood and grass collection patrols.
As a result of this reconfiguration, there were 11 team sites in the process of being closed down. What happened to the safety of IDPs who live in the areas?
11 team sites have been already closed and handed over to relevant government institutions. We are not going to forget about those areas in our future POC activities. There are areas where we never had team sites established, but nevertheless, we regularly visit those areas to provide assistance to our humanitarian partners, as well as to interact with local residents to see whether there are any threats to their well-being. So after these team sites are closed, we will definitely continue to visit those areas on a regular basis through our patrols, both by the military and by police, to ensure that we closely follow up on developments on the ground. And if they face any protection-related concerns, challenges, then we will be definitely taking action.